Thank you, praise team. Thank you, church, for the worship. We do serve the great and famous one. We celebrate the glory of our God. You know, we often talk about glorifying His name or giving glory to God. We're not giving Him anything that He doesn't already possess. We're just agreeing with the truth and giving glory to His name, and I thank you for that. This is the time when we release our children volunteers to Children's Church, so I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. Wow, what a great looking crew. Well, those of us that are left, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We are today going to just kind of be reminded of some things to hopefully propel us and to help us in this coming year to glorify God. To live life in such a way that demonstrates His glory, that magnifies His glory, that declares His glory. Next week, we're going to start a new series on just talking about the core values that we need to be building upon and to be working out and living out and encouraging one another in. But before I started that, I wanted us to just look at and be reminded of some things about God, and reminded of some things about us and who we are in Christ Jesus, some promises that we have. So in Isaiah 43, just a little bit of background, and most of us understand and remember that Isaiah is an Old Testament prophet, one of the most prolific prophets and most written of prophets in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is just as pertinent today as it was before Jesus came. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus, and hopefully I can kind of demonstrate that and show you some of that today as we look at Isaiah 43. But Isaiah was prophesying in Israel, and he was prophesying about the coming destruction and the judgment of God upon the people of God, because they had wandered away from Him. They had rebelled against Him. They had brought in these foreign gods and began to worship these false gods and these idols. But while they were worshiping them, they were trying to worship God at the same time. And God is a jealous God. He's not going to let His glory be shared with things that aren't real. He's not going to let His people worship and chase after things that are worthless and useless. But when we choose to do that, Isaiah says we become just as worthless as they are. We become like that which we worship. So if we truly worship God, then we will become more godly. We'll become more and more like His Son Jesus if we truly worship God. If we play with worship of God, but yet we pursue other things passionately and with the energies and the time and the finances that we have, if we try and chase after these false gods, these idols that we even have today, we become just as worthless as them. And so God is about to judge Israel. Actually, it's already started. Babylon has come in and has conquered the kingdom. And many people have been carried off into captivity. It is a very difficult time in the life of the people of God. Many of the righteous have been swept up with the wicked. And that's the truth of life. Just because we are followers of Christ, just because we're trying to honor God, just because we're trying to pursue God with our life and live a life that glorifies Him, does not mean that bad things aren't going to happen to us. Now, there were some very loyal people to God that worshiped Him and Him alone, that rejected the idols that the majority of the Israelites were facing, but yet they were still carried off into captivity. Remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were some of the ones who loved God, served God, and rejected all the idols, but yet they were carried off into captivity with the wicked. So sometimes bad things happen to the people that follow God. And it's a difficult time. And God is reminding these faithful followers, these ones who have been caught up in these terrible circumstances, these ones that in spite of their desire to honor God are still experiencing the hardship and the struggles of God's wrath on the lost world, those that had rejected God. He says, fear not. There's some things in this passage that are encouraging, some things that we need to remember in 2019 that will help us honor God no matter what happens. Because so often, I see it all the time, people that love the Lord still get cancer. People that love the Lord still get injured in accidents. People that love the Lord still have difficulty in their families, have hardships with their children. People that love the Lord are still going to experience all the bad things that this fallen world has to offer. It's not easy to be a follower of Christ. But we have hope. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be overcome. We are called, we are saved to be overcomers. And so in this new year, some things are for certain. We need to remember who God is. We need to understand bad things may happen to you and to your family. But in the midst of those troubles, we have a God who is present. We have hope. We have a reason to celebrate and worship Him, even though we can't celebrate our circumstances. So if you will, stand with me as we begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 43. Remember, again, the context is the people have been carried off into captivity. The righteous have been carried off with the wicked. And God is promising, God is reminding them of some very important things. We're going to look at some things He's reminding them about Himself and some things about themselves. It says, "But now thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and the deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together so that the peoples may be assembled, who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things. Let them present their witness that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there is no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am your God. Even from eternity I am He, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it?" Let's pray. Lord God, we are so thankful for your great grace. We're so thankful that you have chosen us. We did not choose you. We're so thankful that in your great grace and in your sovereignty and in your foreknowledge, Lord, you chose us before the foundation of the world. You chose to send your Son to provide a way to redeem, to save, and to restore broken fellowship with you. God, even in Isaiah, we see how you are the Redeemer you are the Savior. We see where you had already planned a substitutionary sacrifice for your people. His name is Jesus. And so God, today, help us keep in the forefront of our mind. Help us study and remember and become intimately familiar with who you are. Give us a deeper understanding. Because, Lord, we know that difficult times are coming. It's life. And we're not immune. So, God, help us to remember who you are and who we are in you. And, God, that knowledge, that great truth will help us live lives that glorify you no matter what's going on. It will make 2019 a year worth remembering, a year worth celebrating, a year where you do amazing things in and through us, and you will truly be glorified in your people. God, that's all we want. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, Isaiah is writing to a people who have been conquered, writing to a people who have been taken into captivity, writing to a people whose circumstances seem extremely hopeless, who seem extremely dire, and a people who have every right to give up hope because everything is stacked against them. The world power has just taken them over. The world power has just carried them off into captivity. The world power has just subjugated them and said, if you don't live like we tell you to live, if you don't worship who we tell you to worship, we have the power, the ability, and the desire to kill you. And there's nothing you can do about it. We are overwhelming, we are in charge, and you must submit. Again, he's writing to the people who are carried away that still love him. The people who have been faithful to him even when the whole nation and the whole world is turned away from God. The people that God has brought to himself and created for himself and blessed and taken care of have rebelled, but yet there is always a remnant who has stayed faithful. And these faithful ones are experiencing the same hardships that the wicked are. They're experiencing the same threats and the same problems that the wicked are. So God, through Isaiah, begins to remind them of what is important and the things that they need to stay focused upon. Not their circumstances, not the power of their enemy, not the power of the government over them, but the power of the one who created them. Look at what he says. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. He says, look, Babylon may be in charge. Babylon may be the government over you. Babylon may be the ones with all the swords and the army. But I am the one who formed you. I am the one who created you. I am the one who brought you from one man, Abraham, who brought you from a family, Jacob and his 12 sons, brought you into Egypt and multiplied you even under slavery and brought you out with a great deliverance and delivered you through so many things. I am the one that formed you and created you as a nation. I am the one that loves you. I am the one that cares for you. I am the one that is able to do all these things. So therefore, you need to remember, I am the one that's in charge. It may seem like Babylon's in charge. May seem like Nebuchadnezzar is the one calling the shots. But you need to remember, I am the one that created you. I am the one that formed you. I am the one who is sovereign over all. And see, when life throws us curves, when life gives us problems, when there are circumstances that happen in our life that's beyond our control, but even sometimes it's the circumstances that we cause with the choices that we make, that God is sovereign even over our circumstances. God is sovereign over the government in Washington. They're not the ones that we need to worry about. They're not the ones that we need to fret over. We need to pray for them. The Bible says pray for them. Pray for your leaders. We need to try and elect and do our civic duty to elect people that honor God. They're further and further and fewer and far between when it comes to choosing. But our hope is not in a government. Our future is not based on the strength of a government. And no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how much the world and even its governments turn against Christianity and the truth of God's Word, God is still our Creator. God is still the one who formed us as His church. We are called, we are saved by God. And we need to remember that. So He says, in response to that, I am the Lord your Creator, O Jacob. I am He who formed you. So the thing there is, He says, do not fear. Don't fear Babylon. Don't fear Nebuchadnezzar. Don't fear the army. Don't fear what they threaten to do. Don't fear what they do. For I have redeemed you. If you're a child of God, then you have been redeemed. That word redeemed means I have bought you back out of slavery. He bought Israel back out of slavery from Egypt. He bought them with a great price. There's a lot of people that died so that they would be set free. He mentioned it a little bit later. Didn't I sacrifice Egypt and Seba for you? They were bought with a great price. He did a lot of things, a lot of great things to bring them out of bondage. A child of God, you were bought with a great price. God Himself took on the form of man, walked a perfect sinless life, died a death He didn't deserve. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. He is the propitiation for our sin. He died in our place. I have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. So we don't have to fear. The things of this life, things of this world, the governments, we don't have to fear even death because we have been redeemed from even that. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus told His disciples, John chapter 14, you believe in God? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, the death angel doesn't come for us. Our number's not called out. St. Peter doesn't say, come home. It says that when a child of God dies, Jesus Himself comes and takes us, escorts us into His Father's presence. See, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear the things of this world. We don't have to fear the people of this world. We don't have to fear the governments of this world. We don't have to fear death because we have been redeemed. We have been bought back. God says, I am your Redeemer. I have redeemed you. The second thing He says is, I have called you by name. You are mine. Isn't that awesome? You are mine. We are possessed by the Creator of the universe. We are possessed by one who loves us more than we could ever imagine. We are held in the hand of the Creator, the Father, the Savior, Redeemer, the lover of our souls. You are mine. That's awesome. I'm just kidding. If we could just sit and dwell and just ponder and meditate on that one truth. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. You are mine. Wow. Why should we be in fear? Why should we be stressed out? Why should we be worried? The worst that the world can do is kill us. And if we've been redeemed and owned by God, then the moment we leave this place, we'll be in the presence of the Father. The worst they can do is the best thing that ever happened to us. We don't have to fear. Look at what He says, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, He didn't say if. He didn't say just in case. He says when. Jesus told His disciples, in this world, you will have trouble. But Don't be afraid, for I have overcome the world. God telling his children, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Again, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, when we go through the troubles, we're never alone. I was watching a TV show the other day called Bull. I don't know if you watch that. It's interesting to me. It's fun to watch. But Bull is a type of lawyer. He's a forensic specialist and that kind of stuff. But he was talking to a priest who was willing to take the fall and go to prison for a young man who had just been accepted into a prestigious school and didn't want him to. He had a hit and run with the church van, and the priest was willing to take the rap so he wouldn't have to experience that. And he was willing to go to prison in this guy's place. And him and Bull at the end of it were talking, and Bull said, I envy you. He said, you were willing to go to prison for this guy and be alone for a couple of decades. The priest looked at him and said, I wouldn't be alone. Bull looked at him and said, I envy you because you're never alone, are you? No, I'm never alone. And see, that's true of us. Truer for us, as a child of God, we have been redeemed. We are His. And you're never alone. And see, the greatest weapon that the enemy has against believers, those of us who are bought by God, who are children of God, one of the greatest weapons that he has against us is to make us feel alone, that we're isolated, that God doesn't care anymore, that God's not here anymore. If God really loved you, he wouldn't let this happen. If God cared about you, you wouldn't be experiencing this. God has abandoned you. And that's not true. See, even as Christians, we struggle with this, and at times we feel like we have been forgotten. We feel like we've been abandoned. We feel like God is not here, that he's somewhere far away, but yet he's with us. God says, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. You will not have to face the troubles of this world alone. You are never alone. You are his. We need to remember that we're not alone. That no matter the circumstance, no matter what we feel, the truth is God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Then he goes on and says, when you walk through the fire, you'll not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Fiery furnace. God was letting them know, be faithful, for I am faithful. Verse 3, again, he says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. There is no other salvation given among men. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 3:16 tells us the extent of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is our Savior. He's that propitiatory sacrifice. He's the propitiation for our sin, the substitutionary sacrifice that takes away sin. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. And we belong to Him. We've been purchased with a great price. We are loved greatly. We are always with Him, and He is always with us. And we need to take comfort in that and gain strength from that, that no matter what's going on, God is with us. And God is bigger than whatever our circumstances are. Verse 4 says, since you are precious in my sight. Again, I want you to hear that. Since you are precious in my sight. Since you are honored, and I love you. It's not, he didn't say, since you are good, since you're worth it, since you're obedient, since you don't mess up. No, he said, since you are honored, and I love you. Since you are precious in my sight. All about God's grace and how He sees us. Again, verse 5, he says, "Do not fear, for I'm with you." Two times he's told him in response to who he is, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. I will, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the heaven. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory." You have been called. Jesus said, "I chose you. You did not choose me." The Holy Spirit calls us into a relationship with Him. If the Holy Spirit had not convicted us of our sin, if the Holy Spirit had not removed the blinders from our eyes, if the Holy Spirit had not used our circumstances to bring us to an understanding that God loves us and we need a Savior, then we would never think of God. We would never turn to God. It's an act of grace that we are even saved. So He called us. Says, "Everyone who is called by my name," not the name Christian. It's not what he's saying. Just because you're called a Christian, just because somebody calls you a Christian, or you say you're a Christian, but the one that he calls by his name, that you are my sons and my daughters. You are my redeemed. You are my family. You are my children. Whom I have created for my glory. So you need to remember that you were called not for your benefit. See, our salvation is not about us. Our salvation is not about our comfort. Our salvation is not even about us getting to go to heaven. Our salvation, we are called for His glory. Our salvation is all about Him and not about us. Our life is all about Him and not about us. Being called sons and daughters is not about us, it's about Him. And we're called, we have been saved, we have been redeemed, we have been formed, we have been made into the new creatures in Christ Jesus for His glory, not our good. And I know that burst some of you's bubble. Your salvation is not about you. But we have made it all about us. When it's all about Him and His glory. We are formed for His glory. We are created in Christ Jesus for His glory. Whom I have formed, even whom I have made. So the first thing, the things that we see about God, is that God is the creator of us. We are formed, We are created by Him. We are part of the kingdom because He chose to call us into the kingdom. We have been redeemed by Him. We are belong to Him. He is our Savior. It's all about Him. And so we don't have to worry about our circumstances, and we don't have to find our hope and our joy in the circumstances of life. We find it in Him. So in the middle of our hardship, in the middle of the difficult things of life, we need to remember whose we are and who He is. He is faithful. He is an ever-present help in times of trouble. He will be with us when the troubles of life come. We are never alone. He will strengthen us. And I skipped over it. I don't know why I did. Verses 3 and 4, I mentioned it just a little bit. "I have given Egypt as a ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you have you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life." Who's that a picture of? Jesus. Because we're precious in His sight, because we're loved, He sent His Son to die in our place. He's the ransom of our souls. So we need to remember those things about God, but then we also need to remember some things about ourselves. We are created for His glory in verse 7, but then He continues on in verse 8, in 8 through 13, and says, "We are to be His witnesses. Bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes," verse 8, "and the deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together so that the peoples will be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things. Let them present their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is true. He says, look, I've gathered all the nations under one government. Babylon ruled the whole known world at the time. He says, I've gathered all the nations under this government. I've brought you into this place. I've gathered all the people that have eyes and don't see, ears that don't hear. When Israel conquered the promised land and they were about to go in, they sent spies into Jericho. And what was it that Rahab told those spies? We have heard everything that your God has done. We've heard how he destroyed Egypt. We've heard how he brought you through the Red Sea on dry land. We've heard how he provided for you in the wilderness. And we're afraid. But they did not submit. They still held on to their false gods. They had eyes to see, but didn't see. They had ears to hear, but wouldn't hear. They rejected the truth. They chose a lie as the truth rather than serving the one true and living God. And he's saying here, I've brought all the nations together. I'd gather them all under this one kingdom. All the ones who know the truth, who have heard of my glory, who have heard of the things that I've done. Why? Verse 10. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. He says, look, I've gathered them all together so you can be my witness. So Daniel would have a platform. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be an example of the power and the might and the faithfulness of their God. So that Esther would be able to stand before the king. All of these things happened so that God could orchestrate and could use His people as a witness to the truth of who He is, as a physical reminder of all the things they had heard about the God of Israel were true. And see, that's what we need to remember about us. God lets His people experience difficult and hardships so that the world who have heard the truth about God, who have heard the gospel, who have heard that God is real and they are Christians and knows what we believe, that there is one God and He is real and we can be in relationship with Him, but they need to experience the difference that He makes. See, all the people had heard about God, they had heard all the exploits, they heard the stories, but they had never seen the real tangible difference that God made in the lives of people. So Daniel was able to interpret the dreams. Daniel was able to share the truth of God in a very, very practical way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to show the faithfulness of God because they were faithful to Him and cast into the fiery furnace and not even the smell of smoke on them when they come out. See, God lets us experience bad things so that the world will see the difference He makes to the people that are experiencing them. That we face these things, we face the troubles, we face the hardship, we face the pain and the suffering and the disease. We face them with hope that's built on the truth of who God is and whose we are. See, we can face life without fear. And the world begins to believe the gospel. The world has the opportunity to see the gospel lived out. The difference that God makes in our lives. That we can mourn at the loss of a loved one, but we don't mourn as those who have no hope. That we can face the hardships of life with love and grace and not repay evil for evil, but repay evil with good. Because God is so good to us. God is so forgiving of us. See, we can live radically different because we serve a real God, a present God, a powerful God. We are owned by Him, so we don't have to fear. But see, when we go into the things of life fretting and fearful and overwhelmed and overcome and beat down, because we forget whose we are. And the world says, thought your God was something. It must not be much if he don't change your perspective any more than that. See, we're saved, we're called, we've been created and as a new creature in Christ Jesus for the glory of God, so that we can be a witness to the reality of God. Verse 10 says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and you are my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He, that I am God, that I am the Creator, that I am the Redeemer, that I am the Savior, that I am the Sustainer. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me." It says, when we know that, when we're convinced of that, when we walk in that, then we can be the witness that God wants us to be, that no matter the troubles that we face, we will be the true witness for God. Verse 11, I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses. Again, he tells them, "You are my witnesses," declares the Lord, "and I am God. Even from eternity I am He, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it?" See, that's how we can live without fear. That's how we can live, no matter our circumstances, to the glory of God. Because that's what we were saved for. If we can remember the truth of God, who God is, the truth that we are bought with a price, that we are loved, we are honored, we are chosen, we are possessed of God, bought with a great price, that He's an ever-present help in times of trouble, then we can face those troubles without fear and with an everlasting hope, with courage and joy and truth. And people will see the difference that God makes. See, that's my desire for us in 2019. From this day forward, that we would grow in our understanding of the truth of who God is. We would grow in our knowledge, as He says. That we would know and understand, and we would believe that He is God. I belong to Him, and nothing can change that. So I don't have to fear. I don't have to fret. I don't have to fuss. I don't have to make our government act right. I just have to live like God's real. Honor Him, glorify Him, and let people see the difference that He makes. Then He can use me to share the gospel and increase the kingdom. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want to tell you, God has paid a price. Your salvation's been bought. It's waiting and available if you will just submit. If you'll acknowledge who He is, acknowledge your sin, repent and turn away, submit your life to Him, you too can have life eternal beginning from that moment forward. You can live without fear, and you can see what life was meant to be like in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, maybe you know you're saved, but you know that you're living in fear. Maybe today you just need to say, "God, show me, help me understand, help me know, help me see who You are, that You're God and You're bigger than all of this. Help me see who I am and help me rest in that truth. And let me live fearlessly in a world full of fear and honor You in everything I do." Let that be your prayer. And let's see what God will do in the coming days. Would you stand, please?